Sunday the 7th of October 2018, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Seeds of Hope. Sermon title, Seeds of Hope. Bible reading, Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 23. Talk by Reverend Martin Court.
Good morning. Today I'm reading Matthew 13, and I'll be reading verses 1 to 23. The parable of the sower. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. While all the people stood on the shore, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what it was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see, but did not see it, and hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes in and snatches it away. What was sown in his heart, this is a seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on the rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed, what fell on good soil, is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, David. Well, let's just pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would open this word to us and us to your service for your glory's sake. Amen. Well, there was a wealthy businessman in the VIP lounge last week at Heathrow. And while he was in the lounge, he noticed that Bill Gates was sitting on a Chesterfield enjoying a cognac. And the businessman had a very important meeting up with a client who was also flying to America, but she was running late. And being a forward type of guy, the businessman approached Bill Gates and introduced himself, explained to him that he was conducting a very important meeting with a businesswoman, and how much he would appreciate it if Mr. Gates could throw him a quick hello, Chris, when he was with the client. Bill, of course, kindly agreed. 10 minutes later, whilst the female client was with him as she came, and they were chatting, and the businessman felt a tap on his shoulder, and it was Bill Gates. And he said, hey, hi, Chris, what's happening? And the businessman turned around and said, yeah, not now, Bill, I'm in a meeting, mate. An old joke, sorry. A clean version of an old joke. I did wonder if Bill Gates was still alive. I hope he is. Anyway, there we are. VIPs, a very tenuous link. A very tenuous link. But VIPs. I wonder if you think of yourself as a VIP, a very important person. Because you and I are above all those kind of VIPs that we would associate that those letters with, Bill Gates and so on. We're way above them. And the reason we're way above them is because we are called by the Most High God. Here in St. Chad's Church. It's an honour. I don't know if you think of church that way, that you are a VIP because Yahweh, the Lord Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, has called you, ... insert your name here, to be a part of St. Chad's Church in the centre of Chadwell Heath, to make a difference. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? And I wonder if you remember Ted Rogers with his TV game show, 3-2-1. You've got to be careful when you're a vicar doing that. But 3-2-1. And I'm going to link them up. I'm going to give you three V's, two I's and one P today, all based around this analogy of a farmer growing things, producing things. That's what you are here to do. You are here to produce something and to grow something for the kingdom of God. Something wholesome and nourishing for this church, but of course, it's beyond that. It's out into our community to ensure that you and I have an influence on the town that God has placed us in, Chadwell Heath. Ensuring that our touch on it perpetuates the qualities of heaven, peace, justice, love, love in the home, love in the workplace. And it's a mighty calling. And Jesus says, there are going to be lots of people who cannot see, who cannot hear, who do not do, who don't get it at all. To help us and to guide us, of course, Christ speaks these parables. And then he says, those who can hear, please, please hear. And so, 3-2-1 of farming. And the first is the V's, three V's. When I thought about a farmer, the first thing I thought about is the farmer's need for vision. J. Oswald Saunders, a missionary statesman, once wrote this. Those who have most powerfully and permanently influenced their generation have been the seers. The men and women who have seen more and further than the rest of us. As Christians, you are called to have vision. I wonder what your vision is today. I wonder if you could articulate that to the person sat next to you. Vision, of course, beyond this world and the worldly things. Vision of heavenly things. There's the story of Walt Disney, the man who made the fairy tale world of Disneyland possible. And it's an amazing place of childish dreams amongst magic kingdoms and animal kingdoms and Epcot and water parks with millions of slides and wave machines and all of that. Life-size Disney characters coming up and having photographs taken. Burgers everywhere, beef burgers, the biggest burgers you've ever seen in your life. It's a child's dream. One of the things that amazed me when I was there is that the Disney theme parks are all built on marshland. They're all built on swamps. Alligators wandering around the place. The news is filled with alligators. On the radio, literally, we would hear in the morning, by the grace of God, about 10 or 15 years ago, we had a chance to go over there on a cheap holiday, and we went. And literally on the radio, you switch the radio on, and Mrs. Smith's dog was eaten by a gator today, and Mrs. Smith is said to be very distressed. Bless her. Well, you would be, wouldn't you, if your dog was eaten by an alligator. And they're everywhere. All the hotels have to wash them off out the front. And Walt Disney thought, I'm going to build something big here. Isn't that amazing? Did you know that by the time it came to the opening ceremony, Walt Disney had passed away? And it was Mrs. Walt Disney who was invited to the inaugural dinner. And as the master of ceremonies introduced her, ladies and gentlemen, Mrs. Walt Disney, we're so grateful for her coming, but it's a shame that Walt himself wasn't able to see the Disneyland parks finished. She stood up and said, oh, but he did. And then she sat back down again. To see the potential of the land, To look out across St. Chad's and Chadwell Heath and to say to yourself, I can grow something here. I can produce a fruit here. This land has potential. Walt could have just seen the swamps and the alligators, but he didn't. If he had just seen them, he would have built nothing. He saw a dream. And he worked out how to make it possible. That's the vision of the farmer. But then there needs to be two other visions, two other understandings that go with that. Our second view is the vision of the crop. The vision of the crop. Have you noticed that Great Britain is not known in the world of winemaking for great wines, really? We don't have the paddy fields of the Far East. You can't see a combine harvester climbing the hills of Wales, can you? So you've got to have the right crop in the right place. I don't know if you saw a TV program about 18 months ago, I think. It was called The Human Planet. Vastly different environments from around the world, from permanent ice to washed out by water and scalded by the sun. No two environments were the same. And in each, the peoples of those places all lived completely different lives based on their own particular environment. I wonder what our soil is here. Where's our richness in Chadwell Heath, in St. Chad's Church? And we have many riches. Our greatest worth, I think, is our children that God entrusts to us. We have some here at our 9 o'clock service. We have about 50 or 60 across all age groups at our 10:45 service, at every single 10:45 service. That's amazing, isn't it? And they are talented and they are gifted and they are full of life. And actually, Chadwell Heath is full of young families brimming life and fun. But we also have a wealth of retired folks too. 22,000 people in your church's parish for you to reach out to. 22,000 people in a little over a square mile. We have riches. And the farmer gets to understand all those elements, and he or she understands the soil type and its drainage and its accessibility and its pHs and all of that. The farmer considers below the obvious, to look at what are the riches hidden here. And then from that, in his or her mind, he sees the crop, he sees where the fruit can be grown, he sees what can be achieved. And then comes the third V. No crop grows overnight. The farmer has to have the vision of time. No farmer runs out into a field, scatters the seed, turns up the next day with a combine harvester. He or she has to plan and strategize across the seasons. There was a self-centered woman knelt before the confessional. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. What is it, my child? Well, Father, I have committed the sin of vanity. Twice a day I gaze at myself in the mirror and tell myself that I am the most beautiful woman in the world. And the father looks at, you know, they have those little lattice windows. He peers through the lattice window at the woman the other side. He says, sister, he says, I have some good news for you. He says, it's not a sin, it's a mistake. Folks, we can end up doing frivolous things, can't we? Like looking at ourselves in the mirror. If we're not careful. Emails. I wonder how many of you get emails. I watch my inbox filling up with tumbling emails like coins coming out of a fruit machine when someone's won the jackpot. And I click on the first one, and if I'm not careful, I'm still there 3 hours later going through emails. Wasting my time and my energy in some ways. They distract us. You will have your own distractions. What is your distraction? You're a VIP. Called to be a very important person for God in Chadwell Heath. But do you get distracted? We've always got demands on our time, on our energy, on our finances. But VIPs are called by God out of the world. Not just to be a part of life, but to make a difference to life. Not to be a part of St. Chad's or Chadwell Heath, but to make a difference in St. Chad's or in Chadwell Heath. And that means we have to prioritize if we're to be disciples of Christ. And these are big questions, I know that. But we're VIPs called by God to make a difference. What's your vision for this church? What's your vision for this church? And how are you putting that vision forward into our leadership teams? What's your passion? How can you see you making a difference? What's distracting you from doing that? being a part of the growth. How do you prioritise to ensure the calls of the world don't outweigh the call of God? That's what farmers do. They make it their priority to grow something through the gifts that God has given them. And we need the vision of time and strategy and planning and all of that to bring those things about if we're going to grow fruit for our future. But then the farmer needs insight, the two eyes. And the first is that he or she needs the insight of reality. To be wise in deciding what we can achieve in the time span we're given. What's realistic, what's achievable for us together. Taking into account budgets and resources and staffing and all of those sorts of things that will dictate whether our vision becomes a reality or just remains a dream. Do you know, our leadership team are wondering if you folks know what we spend your money on. When you give your collection in today's service, I wonder if you know what it's going to be spent on. Did you know that we as a church have to pay the diocese £50,000 a year? A lot of people think we get money from the diocese. No, we don't. We have to pay them £50,000 a year. Did you know that the heating and the lighting, the coffee after the service, all those sorts of things add up to £50,000 a year? Just to keep the place running, did you know that? Did you know that we spend £40,000 a year on staff wages, and that doesn't include me, Chica or Christine? Christine comes for free, did you know that? Everything she does is voluntary. Chica and I are paid by the diocese. We're not paid by you at all. And that doesn't include people like the wardens or Paul Quelch at the back there, or the people who run any of our volunteers. Julie running Sunday school doesn't include any of those. They're all free. They're all volunteers. So 140,000 a year just to keep us going. No wonder when I say I think we ought to have a children and young people's worker to value our children and young people, that our treasurer takes a deep breath. Is it? But I think that we have to value our youngsters, and so we have to find the money to support them. But the Bible is our guide, and Jesus said, suppose one of you wants to build a tower, will he or she first not sit down, estimate the cost to see if you can do it. We can only do these sorts of things if we draw together, if we pool our resources together. Today things are stacked against us. We know that we've lost some very big finances coming into our church. We're having to tighten our belts, but God is a big God and he will provide. He just needs farmers willing to do the work with him and for him. The other insight, of course, is that the farmer needs to understand what the people need. No good having a herd of prime beef if the people that you're trying to serve are vegetarians. What are the needs of our community? And we can see that children and young people desperately need it. Knife crime just going through the roof, just ridiculous. Gangs. Somebody needs to take hold of our youngsters, don't they? Teach them something about how to live well, how to love themselves, how to love each other. Isn't that the church's job? Shouldn't we be doing that? Families. Great needs in our families, in our marriages, in our workplaces, families struggling to pay bills. Great need amongst our elderly, trying to break isolation. These are the things that are the needs of our community. You may have something else that God has placed on your heart, but it's not just needs for today. As Christians, we have to have a vision into the future. What are the needs of tomorrow? And of course, it's one of the farmer's great qualities, watching, waiting, listening, assessing, reading the clouds, the crop and the circumstances in order that he or she makes the right decision at just the right time. And our time, of course, is God's time. So difficult to do when the cries of the people are in your ears all of the time, but so essential, says Jesus. And he finishes his parable with the words, so may those who have ears hear. Because we need to listen. Our vision and our work has to be anchored by our insights, by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Unless the Lord builds the house, says the psalmist, the laborers will labor in vain. And it brings me to my last P, and the last P, of course, is prayer. The question really is, what is God putting on your heart? Maybe it's to join something that we're already seeking to do here at St. Chad's. We're desperate for lots of things. Can anybody drive a minibus? We run an MCC, a fantastic thing, breaking isolation in elderly. We've got nobody to drive the minibus, go around and collect them. Simple as that. It's not difficult. It's not rocket science. Lots of jobs like that. I could go on and just list off jobs like that. Maybe God's putting something on your heart, something different. We had a great response to our volunteer day a few months back. If you signed up on that day, are you doing what you signed up for? How are you slotting into those teams? Unless the Lord builds the house, the labourers labour in vain. We need to come as men and women together in prayer. We need to be men and women of vision. We need to be men and women of insight. But we need to be men and women of prayer. It's what VIP discipleship looks like. And Jesus wraps this in a story about farmers, about people called to grow and enhance the lives of others, to feed and to sustain us, to guide us, to keep us safe. Friends, you are VIPs. You are called by God. Not just to sit on a pew every Sunday, but to be salt and to be light, to do something tangible to make a difference. You're called to be people of vision, people of insight, people of prayer. Because God is relying on you and on me to grow his kingdom in this world. And he says, may those who have ears hear. Let us pray. Lord Heavenly Father, it's so easy for us just to get into a routine and into our own life and into our own way of doing things. The needs of the community are ever shifting. Help us to shift with them. Help us to have eyes and ears for our community, for the needs around us. You call us to be VIPs here, to be disciples of the Most High God. May we take that job responsibly. May we have integrity in being a VIP for you. And may we make a difference in this church and in this community as we become the beacon of Christ's light. And in his name we pray. Amen.